this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We just got done with our interview with Dr. Ted Brewer, and we covered a lot of ground there. And we got a fantastic hour coming up for you right now. We have returning guest Robert David Steele joining us. And he's been on quite a bit in the past and coming back on. He's a former spy recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize and remains a committed supporter of our President Donald Trump. And he has teamed up with a number of people to create a new movement for unity. And we're going to get into that, as well as an overview of what how Trump is doing in the thick of all this, the Trump derangement syndrome, as some people have labeled it, the liberal insanity, as I like to call it. And we're going to take a look at the administration and the people who are surrounding our president and examine some of the things that have gone right and some of the things that have and that are going wrong in this administration trying to push the agenda forward. Robert David Steele, it's great to have you back on the show. You've been very busy, and how about you give us a little bit of an update about what you've been getting into since the last time we talked?
Well, I'm really honored, and I will never forget that it was my appearance on the Hagman and Hagman Report that actually launched me as a person of interest to the alt-right. So God bless all of you, and thank you. What I have been doing in the last couple of months is coming together with Cynthia McKinney and creating an alliance between the alt-right and people of color. And what we have realized is that we have the power to come together, bringing the alt-right and the alt-left together, but with the people of color that are prepared to leave the Democratic Party as the center of gravity. Cynthia McKinney and I have published a short manifesto. It's free online, and it's also at Amazon.com. It's called #Unrig, Beyond Trump and Sanders. Now, we clearly hope that the president will lead this unrig effort, but we're going to move forward with or without him. And it has instantly gone viral. We own the first three screens, the first 30 results of any Google search for #unrig. I would love to have your listeners take a look at it, because we make a case there that the deep state is our common enemy. And if the deep state is our common enemy, and if Donald Trump is the enemy of the deep state, and if the enemy of my enemy is my friend, we think we can make a case to the progressives, to the alt-left, to come together with the alt-right and take down the deep state this summer. And our basic plan is quite simple. Cynthia is approaching the black churches across America. I am approaching Louis Farrakhan.
Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, the Nation of Islam, an extraordinarily important group in America. And we're seeking to have the black churches and mosques host open houses in the month of June, where white, black, brown, all colors, all races, all creeds come together and have a conversation. And what we're seeking to do is have everyone set aside all ideological and issue differences and agree that we have a common enemy, the deep state. There is a common solution, the Election Reform Act that reintroduces integrity to Congress. And there is a common method. We are going to try and raise $25 million, but even if we can't raise a penny, all of you could still do this on your own. We want people to come together spontaneously without us being involved and occupy the front lawns and home offices of every senator and every representative in July. And the objective is to force every member of Congress to sign the integrity pledge, in which they commit to co-sponsor and pass the Election Reform Act of 2017. Just today, I sent a memorandum to Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, asking him to introduce the act before Congress goes on summer recess. A copy of that memorandum has been delivered to our president by one of my high-dollar donors who believes in what I'm doing. And he said to the president, please reach out to Rand Paul, ask him to introduce the act, and then let's take this country back in the month of July against the violence being planned by George Soros and others from the liberal left. So that's what I've been doing with my time the last 30 days.
Well, you know, it's a fantastic idea and a very tall task, and it's great to see the proactive approach in what you just said, by trying to bring together for the purposes of unity and to be able to work together to move forward against this, you know, deep state, surveillance state, police state that is working against us. When we look at the political atmosphere in the country today, we can look at it from one of two lenses, and one of those lenses is very deceptive, which is what the media tries to promote in our society, and they focus solely, you know, on the division. And if you just relied on the mainstream media for your information, you would believe that there is no way, no matter what anybody does, to bring, you know, the left and the right together. But the second way to look at the country is to, you know, have your feet on the ground and, you know, living your day-to-day life as most of us do. We know that there are wide political differences, but at the same time, as you said, if we can push those differences aside to come together to work together towards this goal, it can be accomplished. And one thing that the deep state and the globalists absolutely depend on is the promotion of the division. And as long as they can convince people that it's basically impossible to come together to work towards, you know, a specific goal, nothing will ever be done. But unless we get out of our comfort zone and, you know, put our feet to the ground, we don't know what we can accomplish, and we never will accomplish anything if we don't try. And that's what I appreciate about what you're doing, is because you're really trying to bring these people together.
Well, let me give Cynthia McKinney a lot of credit, because the breakthrough, I was struggling to find out how I could tear away half of the Democratic Party. Basically, half of the Democratic Party is black. And it was in talking to Cynthia McKinney over a year ago that we realized that the Clintons and the Clinton crime bill has put more black people in jail than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War. But the problem is that most of the black intellectuals, with the notable exception of Dr. Cornel West, whose book Democracy Matters is a Nobel-level piece of work, the black intellectuals have been a failure. They've been co-opted by the deep state. At the same time, the people of color have been dependent on the welfare that the Democratic Party has been pushing, and they haven't really been understanding that they're being screwed by the deep state, which the Democratic Party is half of. So there is an opening here for Donald Trump to literally carve out of the Democratic Party most of the people of color. And Cynthia McKinney, Dr. McKinney, whom I recommend as vice president, I am personally praying that Mike Pence will resign in June at the same time that Rince Priebus goes to Greece or wherever they can find a place that he will like. I think Trump needs to clean house in June, and Cynthia McKinney would be a very powerful vice president, helping our president unite the country, restore integrity to the government, and then lead America first. And that's where a lot of us are disappointed. There are some things he's done that have not put America first, and I'm concerned. But I'm still holding faith in the president, and I'm still hoping that in the month of June he will strike a massive counterattack against his enemies and emerge triumphant.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this before we came on air here, and you know, we've seen a lot. It seems like the whole world is against Donald Trump, and it doesn't matter what he does. The rabid left continues to attack every decision he makes and tries to paint.
But so does the right. So does the right.
Yeah, the never Trumpers.
The establishment is against our president.
Yeah. And we were talking about why we see Trump playing more defense. What do you think? What are some of the areas that he can go on the attack?
I love that question. That is so important. The problem right now is that our legitimately elected president is trying to beat the deep state by the rules of their game on the court of their choice, Washington, D.C. What our president needs to do is change the rules of the game. And he does that with an Election Reform Act, a Trump channel, and a counterintelligence surge. William Binney is standing by to help our president use the NSA database to pick up every email and every phone call from every elite pedophile across this country, and in passing, get the emails and phone calls of the 500 traitors across the U.S. federal government. William Binney can give our president within 90 days the results of exploitation of NSA data that the FBI is not getting right now, because the NSA does not want to give the FBI anything, and the NSA is in fact under somebody who is in the pocket of the deep state. I refer to Admiral Mike Rogers. I really believe that if our president were to champion the Election Reform Act and then go on the road and barnstorm the country with Rand Paul, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Cynthia McKinney, Patrick Buchanan, Virgil Good, Jesse Ventura, if he were to take a Chautauqua kind of travel show, 50 states in 30 days, and if we were to combine that with the black churches and mosques having open houses, and combine that with occupying the front lawns of every member of Congress, we can transform America in the next 60 days.
Yeah, I mean, and that's sorely needed. Let me ask you this, what you mentioned about, you know, using the data, the NSA data, you know, in order to target pedophiles, and that is, you know, that would be ideal. At the same time, how would you go about, would it be targeting specific individuals, or would it be something along the lines of keywords? What would be the best way to go about doing this while keeping it constitutionally?
Joseph, I will gladly, if you haven't already interviewed him, I would gladly introduce you to William Binney, who is the best person to answer that question. Okay. Binney is the guy who blew the whistle on NSA and reported NSA to the Inspector Generals of the Justice Department and the Department of Defense, because NSA was violating the Constitution and doing mass surveillance against every American citizen. That's wrong. William Binney invented a method for doing NSA's job without violating the privacy of individuals and without going into individual calls. He did very well what NSA has always done well, which is pattern analysis. You look for the connections rather than the content. But what Bill has told me is that he can apply this pattern analysis. For example, let's say you started with John Podesta and Tony Podesta, known pedophiles and pedophile affiliates. You can then trace them out, and you very rapidly get a network of calls that clearly tend to cluster. And you can easily identify out of that who is clustering for pedophile reasons as opposed to having a Senate meeting reason. All right? So I'm not an expert on this, but I think this would be a fascinating guest and a fascinating topic for your show. And William Binney's in Maryland. He's easily available. He's a great American patriot. And one of the things he and I have been talked about is how the president should, at the same time that he puts Binney in charge of exploiting NSA data, he has the authority to close NSA. Okay. NSA has no legislative charter.
Yeah.
Binney and I have agreed that 70% of NSA is waste and intrusive and can be cut. And our concept here is that Binney would take over the 30% that's worthwhile and move it over to the CIA as a new director for signals intelligence. And the NSA, as it exists today, can literally be burned to the ground and salt plowed into the earth.
We see the pushback that Trump gets with just about every decision that he makes. Do you believe he would be able to deconstruct the NSA and be able to do so with
the short pushback? Answer is yes.
But like with the travel ban, we saw him issue an executive orders for the 90-day temporary travel ban to extend the vetting. That was shut down by some judges. And
let's see, the difference between these two decisions is that the travel ban was a conservative decision that put America first.
Okay.
Shutting down NSA is actually a liberal decision. Shutting down NSA is a liberal's wet dream.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the liberals and the Democrats that have been crying out against mass surveillance and the militarization of the police and so forth. So actually shutting down NSA is something that the public at large, as well as all of the liberals and the Democrats, would have to say, well, now wait a minute, that's actually a good idea. I really have to stress that 70% of the U.S. intelligence community is not just waste. It's being used to spy on and blackmail politicians and judges.
It's weaponized, yeah.
Yes, it's weaponized against us. And it's weaponized against our politicians and our judges. So NSA and CIA are both blackmailing our judges and our politicians, and they are both leaking information and often leaking lies against our president. That's sedition. So Cynthia McKinney and I have just published Memorandum for the President 3.0. It's her refinement of my memorandum that's been read by 4 million citizens, Memorandum 1.0 and 2.0. And in there we say there are 8 things the president can do to be the greatest president ever. Election reform is one, a Trump channel is a second, a counterintelligence surge is a third. Smacking down, taking down the secret intelligence community that tried to flip the Electoral College, jury tampering. Taking them down and putting them back in a very small box is part of how the president takes out the deep state. Because the secret intelligence community is the smuggler and the enforcer for the deep state. Harry Truman never intended for the secret intelligence community to become a blackmailer or a smuggler of guns, drugs, cash, gold, and small children, which is what CIA does using the 1,000 military bases around the world and conscripted military assets. So our president has a chance to not only make America great again, but to make America safe again from its own government.
You know, when I think of the deep state and you know, these globalist New World Order politicians and people, it really, in my mind, it puts the mafia to shame. You know, the mafia being, you know, organized crime, and many people have seen, you know, movies and whatnot. But what we have with the deep state is not only the organized crime, but they have, you know, all the money and technological capabilities that give them the power to be able to do just about anything. And you know, as we just talked about, it is used in a weaponized form, where they are able to blackmail people. They are able to basically control just about everybody with any amount of power. And we know that, you know, even in prosecuting and trying to bring down the mob, you have a lot of pushback. The concern I have here is, you know, if these people feel threatened, the what lengths would they go to make sure that they keep their power? And
well,
obviously they can't keep us from trying, but it's not going to be easy.
Let me give you the answer in three parts. First off, and I'm attending a conference tomorrow on the deep state with Ron Paul and Oliver Stone and a few others, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to say. The deep state is not just unelected government officials. The deep state starts with the Rothschilds and the Vatican, and they control the City of London and Wall Street. And Wall Street and the City of London control the secret intelligence services, the two-party tyranny, and through the secret intelligence services, the mainstream media narrative, the false news. Okay? There are essentially three things the president has to do to take down the deep state and not be assassinated while doing so. The first is he has to have the Election Reform Act in order to restore integrity to Congress. Because that's how he can then take the second step, which is close down the Federal Reserve. Now, I understand he can revoke the charter of the Federal Reserve by executive order, but it works better if he has an honest Congress that makes evidence-based decisions and agrees that the national bank should be nationalized.
Yeah, Kennedy was the last president.
He needs to close the Federal Reserve.
Kennedy tried to issue an executive order to end the Federal Reserve, and one of the first acts that Johnson did as president after the assassination of Kennedy was to remove that executive order.
That's exactly right, because Lyndon Baines Johnson was one of the greatest political criminals of all time until Hillary Clinton came along. She's put him to shame. So our president has the power to do that. But the third is the most important, truth and reconciliation. And I get pushback on that, but the bottom line on truth and reconciliation, my version of it is everyone gets the truth, no one goes to jail. So what you do is you tell the elite, we're going to give you a free pass. All you have to do is get out of our way. Now, they need to understand the underlying message, which is if you don't get out of our way, we will kill you. That's going to happen. George Soros right now is not only under threat of extradition to Russia, he's under threat of death from Rangers that are seriously angry at him. And we call that Ranger justice. I don't condone it, but it exists. George Soros should be very concerned about his welfare. So should Eric Schmidt. Bottom line here is I believe that the elite are now starting to see that there is a populist uprising that is taking place. And it can either be violent or nonviolent. I am working very, very hard to make it an ethical, legal, nonviolent revolution by using the Election Reform Act as a way of transforming our country back to America the Beautiful, making evidence-based decisions in the public interest. If the elite are not willing to play ball with our president and our public, then they are asking for a world of hurt. And they are going to start seeing burning mansions and Lear jets brought down by 50 caliber bullets and digital attacks on their personal wealth. They have no idea just how much cyber power we the people have. I mean, I opened Hackers on Planet Earth in 1994. I started with Win Schwartau, the first cyber conference in about 1992. I introduced NSA to hackers, to my eternal shame, in 1993. I cannot overstate the vulnerability of the elite to a public attack, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. I think our president can do it. I think he's a genius. I think he's got the potential, but he needs we the people 100%, not just 27%, in order to do it.
Yeah, and the 27% you're referring to is, I believe, the number of the percentage of Americans who voted for Trump. And I think you pointed out that 47% of Americans did not even vote. And this is where the Election Reform Act comes, the Election Reform Act comes into play. And, we can get into a little bit of that. We have about a minute or two before, a few minutes before the break, folks. If you have a question for Robert David Steele, give us, send us an email at studio@hagmanandhagman.com. That's studio@hagmanandhagman.com. And we will go through those and, we'll answer, or we'll ask the questions on air and Mr. Steele will answer them to the best of his abilities. With just a few minutes we have left in this segment, Robert, the deep state, the swamp, and the Trump administration, since the last time you were on, the people that Trump has surrounded himself with, are most of these people in your mind, part of the problem or part of the solution? And if you want to get specific and name some names, what do you see happening in the Trump administration and those working with the president versus those working against the president?
With the exception of Steve Bannon and Ivanka Trump, I see no one in the White House worthy of keeping. I'm especially concerned by Jared Kushner, who was caught discussing giving nuclear weapons to Saudi Arabia, and an Israeli officer in the background saying that a limited war between Saudi Arabia and Iran was good for everybody. There is nothing good about a nuclear war in the Middle East, and for Jared Kushner to be playing with guns is very scary. Okay? The second traitor in the White House, or the second person in the White House that causes me grave concern, is Herbert McMaster. McMaster was caught conspiring with John McCain, John Brennan, and David Petraeus to get the Saudis and Israelis to pay $300,000 to $400,000 to the White Helmets to do the false flag attack in Syria. And McMaster is lying to the president on a daily basis, trying to get the president to put 150 U.S. ground troops into Syria. A lot of money has been paid to Egypt. We are building up forces in Egypt. There is a planned U.S. ground troop assault into Syria. There is a planned Kurdish assault down into Iran. This is all insane. So bottom line here is Donald Trump promised all of us no more elective wars, no more regime change operations, no more violence for the sake of the military-industrial complex. He's gone back on those promises. It's time for him to put America first, not Israel first, and not Saudi Arabia first. So I'm very concerned. Mike Pence has been caught trying to build his own power base, taking away the president's most important financial and moral supporters. It's clear that Mike Pence is not loyal to President Trump.
Yeah, and I want to, if we on the other side, we're going to have to get into this a little bit more with Pence. And again, folks, if you have a question for Robert David Steele, send us an email, studio@HagmanandHagman.com. We got a lot more things we want to get into with Robert Steele, including his unrig movement that he's putting together, trying to unify both the right and the left to move against the deep state. We're going to get into more counterintelligence and continue to look at the strengths and vulnerability of Trump and his administration. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric's a...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
We'll be right back.
segment on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest this hour is Robert David Steele. He is a returning guest. He remains a committed member and supporter of President Donald Trump. He has recently joined together and teamed up with Cynthia McKinney to create We the People, Unity for Integrity, a movement that seeks to unite the alt-right with the alt-left and everyone in between to destroy our common enemy, the deep state. And with one demand of Congress, the Election Reform Act of 2017, he has been working to get this legislation introduced before the summer recess. And we have been talking about Trump, the Trump administration, some of the problems that have been ongoing, and the personnel that is surrounding Trump, both positive and the negative aspects of what we're seeing from the administration. We have opened the email up for questions for Mr. Steele at studio@hagmanandhagman.com. If you have a question that you would like Mr. Steele to answer, send us an email, and we will go through those in this segment and get through as many of those as possible. Picking up right where we left off before the break, Robert, Mike Pence, one of the first questions we got is from Deborah, and she says, why do you not want Mike Pence as our president? I was surprised when you talked about replacing him. Is there something I don't know about Mike Pence?
Yes, Deborah, there is a lot you don't know about Mike Pence. There's a lot I don't know either. But you have to understand that all of the governors, Jesse Ventura was an anomaly. All of the governors are part of the establishment. All of the governors are part of the two-party tyranny that wants Donald Trump to fail. Mike Pence has had some very dirty business in Indiana. He has also been an enabler and a protector of high-level pedophiles. His best friend was on the pedophilia list that got Mike Flynn fired. But worst of all, let bygones be bygones. Worst of all, he has been caught. He not only publicly created a political action committee to compete against Donald Trump in 2020, but he has been caught trying to recruit very high-level friends of Donald Trump, financial friends and moral friends. And that is a crime for which there is no forgiveness. I hope and pray that Mike Pence will resign in June.
Yeah, you know, the what you just referenced there about Pence having a close friend with ties to pedophilia was a story that was around a few months ago, and around the time, you know, from the Podesta emails past the inauguration, that wasn't very clear. I guess people didn't. I don't know if there was more important things they were focusing on, but it was kind of a footnote in many of the stories. And the creation of a political action committee to work against Trump is troubling if true. And we did see stories when the impeachment talks about Trump came up, about how people were whispering into Pence's ear and how he would be a tool for the deep state. But with that being said, you know, the vice president always is pretty neutral. It should be pretty
neutral.
No,
forgive me. Let me make a really critical point here. Mike Pence works for Dick Cheney. Mike Pence works for the Bush family. Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, and Rens Priebus have been stuffing Bush family proteges into the political positions. Donald Trump has lost control of his government because of the misbehavior of Mike Pence and Paul Ryan and Rens Priebus and the guy they put into the Office of Presidential Personnel. Donald Trump needs to have someone like Jared Kushner in the Office of Presidential Personnel actually making sure that the people that are being put into positions of political power are Trump loyalists and not Bush loyalists and Cheney loyalists. If I were to go in and evaluate all of the people that have been approved by the Office of Presidential Personnel, I am very sure they would get at best a C-minus grade for being loyal and helpful to Donald Trump's agenda.
Okay. We got a question about Putin. The question is, did you insinuate that Putin is a pedophile?
No.
I agree about Pence. Okay.
No, as a matter of fact, there were stories trying to tar Putin with being a pedophile. And I just shot a documentary in Thailand with Steven Seagal on pedophilia. I'm a commissioner on a new international tribunal that's looking into pedophilia. And by all accounts, Putin is not a pedophile. And he is, in fact, probably, like Khrushchev and John F. Kennedy, more likely to be helpful to Trump than Trump's own generals.
Okay. We have a question from Mike. Are we any closer to finding out the numerous leaks that have sabotaged the White House?
Yes. Three leakers have been found. Two of them work for Jared Kushner.
Okay. And we've been seeing a lot of Jared Kushner in the news lately, one in relation to the false Russia narrative. Do you have any insight into Kushner and the... I didn't... Any more with this Russia narrative?
Well, the Russian narrative is an absolute lie.
Yes.
Okay. I am one of 29 people that destroyed the Russian narrative, and I took the CIA report and dismantled it line by line in a publication that's both free online and at Amazon. It's called Soft Coup. And in fact, I'll point out to your listeners that on page A13 of that report, it actually says in black and white, our findings are not based on evidence. I don't make this stuff up. Our findings are not based on evidence. John Brennan is a liar. He is a whore for Saudi Arabia. I believe he is an American traitor who should be under indictment. All right? John Brennan is, like Loretta Lynch, a seditious, treasonous person. There is no truth to the Russian narrative. What I really think people should be focusing on is the Seth Rich narrative. Seth Rich was murdered by Hillary Clinton and the senior leadership of the Democratic National Committee. Seth Rich was an American hero. And I think that this whole Seth Rich thing, combined with the Obama administration unmasking of U.S. citizens, are the two political scandals which will join with pedophilia. By the way, pedophilia is going to take down the Republican Party, but it is going to further destroy what's left of the Democratic Party. Because pedophilia at the elite level, which is not only about abusing children, but also killing them, this is common at the upper level of both parties and, of course, the bankers in New York.
Yeah, and you're right. For those who might not understand, it would take down many people in the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party. I don't know if you saw this, Robert, but there was, I think it was de Blasio, one of his...
de Blasio, one of his aides, yes.
One of his aides, and then there was also another... DNC employee who was caught with child pornography of children 6 months old or younger.
Yeah, I have to tell you, the child pornography is the least of our problems. I'm talking about people who take kidnap children, abuse them, and then kill them, and then drink their blood. Okay? I cannot exaggerate the depravity and the perversion. And this, by the way, was a perversion that Loretta Lynch was going to legalize if Hillary Clinton had won. One of our senators has published a list of perversions, including pedophilia and bestiality, that the Department of Justice was going to legalize had Hillary Clinton become president. I just cannot exaggerate the depth of the evil that is represented by the deep state. And I have to emphasize the deep state starts with the Rothschilds and the Vatican, moves down through banking to the two-party tyranny, and then to the secret intelligence services that drive the media narrative. It's all connected, but it's not just the shadow government. It's the Rothschilds and the Vatican at the top.
Absolutely. Robert, back to Seth Rich, if we can. The investigation, the police narrative is that it was a robbery, that was a failed robbery attempt, even though nothing was stolen. And we have multiple sources that have come out and stated that Seth Rich was, in fact, the leaker, the DNC leaker to WikiLeaks. And we continue to see stories in the news that say that angle of investigation is debunked. We obviously know the answer to this question, but why is the Seth Rich, the truth of the Seth Rich story so important that these people are willing to even try to shut down people like Sean Hannity for simply asking questions on an unsolved homicide?
Yes, and I like the way you ended that question, because on the one hand, the investigation in Washington, D.C. was completely shut down. They didn't interrogate anybody at the place where this guy had been. They didn't follow any leads. They really did not do forensics. And then I think when they finally caught one guy, it was not actually pursued. But Fox News is part of the deep state. People need to understand that Fox News is part of the deep state. It's not as bad as Crap News Network. It's not as good as Lou Dobbs. Okay? So Fox News is part of the deep state. And any pressure put on Sean Hannity, just like they had pressure put on Judge Napolitano, who's one of my favorite people on the planet. This is a man who really understands the Constitution and has written multiple books on how far America has moved away from the Constitution. For anybody to censor Judge Napolitano or Sean Hannity is for that person to stand up and say, I am part of the deep state. You should not trust me.
Excellent point. And I've never seen we have seen it in 9/11, in a few other cases where just simply asking questions, trying to get to the truth, you're labeled some kind of a kook or enemy or conspiracy theorist. That tells me that we are definitely on the right track with asking questions about Seth Rich. And it is just insane how these people continue to drown out the truth with their hysteria. We got a question from a Chicago brew, and it's a two-part question. It says the following: Mr. Steele has just introduced some alarming reports regarding Pence, Kushner, McMaster's, and others within the White House and Congress. The question is, how accurate is the disclosure of this information and Mr. Steele's level of confidence of the intel? That's part one.
Okay, well, The statements I am making come from two sources, one of them deep within the White House, the other one with the president's personal attention and personal fax number. I am 80% confidence on Kushner and McMaster, and 65% confident on Pence.
Okay. And part two of the question is, many of us believe that President Trump's rejection of the Paris Accord is a significant blessing to us, the American people, displaying that Trump is fighting the deep state and globalist factions. What is Mr. Steele's take on this?
Well, I agree. And I really have to emphasize that nobody in the world does accurate science. Science is a fraud. I've designed a new PhD that has three tracks: holistic analytics, true cost economics, and open source everything engineering. Most of what we make in America today would not be profitable if you were calculating the true costs of everything against the use of water and fuel and toxins and child labor and so forth. Having said that, the climate agreement, like the United Nations Agenda 21, like the United Nations Core Educational Curriculum, like the program to take nutrition out of all food so that you literally have to buy processed food and then you have to buy pharmaceuticals to cure you of all of the things that the GMOs introduce into your system. All of this is part of the deep state agenda. We are all being treated as disposable sheep. So I applaud President Trump for getting out of that. And I'm reading articles in which CEOs are protesting and quitting his groups and so forth. Let me say very clearly that all CEOs in America are crooks. They are hypocritical crooks. Let me point out that when NSA was given the mandate to protect American communications and computing, they didn't do that. Instead, they went to CEOs, the CEOs of Dell and IBM and Hewlett-Packard and Microsoft, and those CEOs violated their fiduciary responsibilities to their stockholders and their shareholders, and their stakeholders, and they let NSA put backdoors into every American computer and communications instrument. Our CEOs across America, with a few exceptions, have zero integrity. When President Trump does something that elicits anger by CEOs and politicians and the media, he is on the right track.
Okay. Another question from Jan wants to know, was the Saudi weapons deal something that was good for America, and do you believe that it was Trump who was behind the deal?
No weapons deal is good for America. It's only good for the bankers.
Okay.
All right. Martin Luther King was assassinated by an army sniper on detail to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which was founded by a pedophile. J. Edgar Hoover used to take small children from the mafia as gifts. Martin Luther King was assassinated for saying at the time accurately that America was the greatest purveyor of violence on the planet. Those weapons deals with Saudi Arabia are actually being paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. What people don't understand is that we're actually giving them the weapons and the U.S. government is paying for them. There is so much corruption. I personally think that President Trump needs to close all of our military bases overseas and stop providing taxpayer funds to foreign dictators. He doesn't have a grand strategy, and he doesn't have a Secretary of State and a Secretary of Defense that have any interest at all in a grand strategy. Everybody is just going through the motions. We can do better. Bottom line is Saudi Arabia and Israel are the greatest threat to peace in the Middle East and the greatest threat to the integrity of the U.S. government.
Okay. Robert, we have a question from Mike, and some of the stuff I've not heard, and maybe you have some insight on this. My question is, why don't you believe Ivanka Trump is into black magic? I truly believe that she is volatile to the president. She's been very curious with Eleanor Roosevelt's spirit in the White House, which that reminds me of Hillary, plus being friends with Chelsea Clinton. Any thoughts on this?
Well, anyone who is friends with Chelsea Clinton is absolutely suspect. Now, as for the black magic, I don't know. I think Ivanka Trump is a very young person who's feeling her way. She's exploring. I previously said she might be the reincarnation of John F. Kennedy Jr. I, on balance, think that she has many positive gifts. And if I had to choose between keeping Ivanka and getting rid of Kushner, I would go with keeping Ivanka.
Oh, I agree. There is a lot of, you know, we're talking about Kushner. There's a lot of ties that he has, his ideology, his politics, and his religion are of concern to many people. And as far as Ivanka goes, I have not heard anything of any type of black magic about Ivanka.
She would benefit from some schooling, as would Kushner. Now, Kushner's the least of the president's problems. He's got 54 Ashkenazi Jews that totally own the U.S. government, and they have not been properly vetted. We are not doing counterintelligence monitoring on all of them. I'm quite sure that Donald Trump is being schlonged by the Ashkenazi Jews. This is a counterintelligence issue that he really needs to put some good people on. Having said that, Donald Trump's biggest problem is he's lost touch with the public.
Mm-hmm.
His base is angry, and he has done nothing to reach out to the 26% that voted against him and the 47% that did not vote at all. Donald Trump's biggest problem right now is that the establishment controls more votes than he does, and he needs to change that.
We got a question from Gina, who wants to know, what are the indicators that this summer we will see political violence?
Oh, excellent question. I love all of your questions. Well, Cynthia McKinney and I were talking yesterday, in fact, and she says that she is hearing reports across the country of black people being promised a monthly stipend for rioting in June and July. But most of it is going to start on the 2nd of July. George Soros has pushed a great deal of money through Move On and other organizations. There are numerous posts. Now, this originally was intended to start in the May timeframe, but I think it got pushed back, And it got pushed back in part because Congress is in session until the end of June. The 2nd of July is when Congress is at home and in a position to witness the violence firsthand.
Okay. And we, you know, I don't know if you've heard anything about this. One of the big protest groups, Antifa, they were, you know, they've been these people who wear masks, and we saw this at the inauguration, them destroying businesses in Washington, D.C., the Berkeley riots. Have you heard anything about Antifa training in Syria?
Not in Syria. What really concerns me, and I really have to emphasize this, the Berkeley riots were violent and were not contained because the university president, the mayor of that city, and the governor wanted them to be violent and not contained. Law enforcement was not allowed to do its job. Just like the violence at Trump rallies during the campaign, law enforcement was ordered to stand down. I absolutely guarantee you, if I were the scene commander, every single person dressed in black would have been captured and interrogated.
Yeah, the reason I asked that question is because I saw an interesting YouTube video that apparently was from Syria that showed some of these Antifa people claiming that they were shipped over there for some kind of combat training. It seemed a little far-fetched, but still concerning nonetheless. We got a question. The firing of James Comey, was it the right move? And what do you expect to see from Comey when he testifies? And will it be truthful?
That's a great question. Number one, I think Comey did need to be fired because he was slow-rolling everything and also threatening our president. Comey had potential, but he failed to live up to it. He was particularly derelict in relation to pursuing further investigations of Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Chelsea Clinton are all indictable tomorrow for charity fraud. Charles Ortel has done a tremendous job of documenting their charity fraud. Election fraud. Stanford University has documented the 13 elections that Hillary stole from Bernie Sanders. She has not been held to account for that. Pedophilia is very big, and there has been nothing done about John Podesta or many others that are associated with pedophilia. And apparently Podesta right now is going across Europe laundering money, buying artworks and jewels and other things. And then of course treason. The Anthony Weiner laptop documented all of the pay-to-play deals from the Clintons. And it documented that Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin were sending classified information to IP addresses in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. That's treason. So Comey was essentially protecting the deep state against Donald Trump. What Comey testifies to depends on how frightened Comey might be of our president having the goods on Comey. And on balance, I would say our president is in a stronger position.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. And one of the things that confused me about the whole Comey situation was after he was fired, he claimed that the Trump asked him to, pretty much he interfered with the investigation into Flynn. And then he made some claims that he took notes about that conversation, but never reported about it while he was still the head of the FBI. Only when he was let go did he claim that he had this information, which was seemed very
wrong. Let me say two quick things. The first is that every president always asks directors of the FBI to do this or do that. Mm-hmm. Second, there is absolutely no comparison between any request Trump may have made and the many felonious interventions that Obama made with respect to Hillary Clinton and other matters. If there is anybody who should be hung, it's Barack Obama, not Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, couldn't agree with you more there. Mr. Steele, we only have a few minutes left before the end of the show. Can you again tell people about your latest initiative, the Unrig, and what people can do to get the information and to spread that around?
Oh, well, God bless you for asking that, because I think it's the second American Revolution. And it's not a revolution that I and Cynthia McKinney are leading. We are literally passing the baton to the American people. and we're going to try and use the black churches and mosques as places of worship and meeting where alt-right and alt-left can come together. I believe the people of color are the center of gravity for bringing us together. If the people of color leave the Democratic Party and are open to election reform as the way to restore integrity to our government, then I believe that will draw the alt-left, and if the alt-right is open-minded and comes in, then I think we have a nonviolent, legal, ethical revolution this summer. #UnRig. That's all you have to know. #UnRig. Any search engine, the first 30 hits belong to Cynthia McKinney and Robert Steele. And if you read the manifesto that Cynthia and I have published, I think you will see the common sense of it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The deep state is our common enemy, therefore we must be our common friends. Hang together or hang separately. #UnRig. Now, I am looking for donations. I want to travel to Chicago, and I want to meet the Nation of Islam ministers. I have other trips that I'm planning. I'm trying to bring Cynthia McKinney back from Bangladesh, and we are also trying to get Rand Paul to sponsor this legislation. I would be deeply, deeply grateful if all of your listeners would call Rand Paul's office and ask him to read the memorandum that his political director got today.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we are proactive, that is when we get and see the results. We can't all expect other people to do all the work. We can't expect all other people or things to be accomplished without us lifting a finger to do so. And, you know, when we talk about the political divisions, even in the Bible, it talks about a house divided against itself cannot stand. And in America today, in the political atmosphere especially, we have a divided house more so than any other time in history. And to heal those wounds, we are going to have to put our ideologies aside and come together for the sake of unity and the future of this country. And that's a tall task. You know, people are quick to hate each other. And that is because we've been conditioned, through our society and through our culture to be that way. But we can affect change, positive change, but we have to be willing to put in the effort to do so. And for that, Robert David Steele, I want to thank you for coming on. And I put your claim to the test in a few search engines, and you're right. #UnRig. You do have the first few pages on the two search engines I've checked so far. So folks, we'll keep that going. Keep it trending on Twitter, and, go to robertdavidsteele.com and, start there. And get the 99 cent. Is it 99 cents, Robert?
Well, yes, but it's also free online. If you look under the #UnRig search results, if you see the Phi Beta Iota .net version, that's the free online version. And please call Rand Paul's office and donate, because I want to make a revolution this summer, and I think we can do it non-violently. And also, we're trying to get our president to lead this revolution.
Absolutely. We will continue to talk about this, and we will follow up with you in the near future. Thank you, Mr. Steele, for coming on, and thank you, everybody, for another great week. We will see you back here on Monday. Have a great evening, everyone.